This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tess.
Thank you, Macca. Our next guest, Macca, is Nick Rees, who's a principal fellow from the Melbourne School of Government. He's also the Director of Strategy, Policy and Projects at the University of Melbourne. And he also happens to be a Melbourne City Councillor.
But he's busy.
And I understand he has a bit of a keen interest in American politics.
He does.
Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Tess. Good morning, Macca. And, of course, you forgot to mention, Tess, he's a dear old friend of yours.
Yes, of course. I was just trying to...
With not much emphasis on the old.
No.
No, not at all, not at all.
Long-standing is good, long-standing.
Long-standing, indeed.
So, Nick, we've been debating this morning what's occurring in the world and in particular what's going on in the US. And our sense is that the US is probably in a bit of crisis at the moment. What's your assessment?
Yes, I mean, it's a terrible situation, isn't it? I mean, you've got a country that has been hard hit by the coronavirus health crisis. That has then spiralled into an economic crisis. You've got a country that doesn't have the safety net that we have in a country like Australia. So health system just not equipped in the way, for example, Australia is to respond to the health crisis. Then we've got an economic crisis that's followed as well, with unemployment now at the same levels as it was during the Great Depression. And then you throw into that, you know, awful mix, a breakdown in race relations and just the wrenching of America and one of its most sensitive issues, the relationship between black Americans and white.
Nick, if we look back, let's go back to January. So, if I was to ask you then, would Donald Trump be re-elected, what would you have said?
Look, back in January, I would have said it's a close-run thing, but he probably would be re-elected. If your next question is, what would I say now? Look, I think it's a close-run thing. There's quite a few. I mean, look, obviously there's been a massive shift since January. Let's start with what's happened on the Democrat side of politics. You know, the Democrats were split through most of 2019 as they went through their primary process. I mean, it wasn't surprising that primaries are a messy business, as politics mostly is. But by the end of 2019, with Joe Biden emerging as the as the candidate in waiting, you saw the Democrats uniting, and you saw in the candidate they selected, Joe Biden, someone who could appeal to middle America, and somebody who in many ways stood for everything that people were revolted by about Donald Trump. You know, he's just a fundamentally decent person. With a much more peaceful and an approach that appeals to the better angels, if you like, in human nature, compared to Donald Trump's more divisive style. So that, I think, there was a big shift there. Then we've gone into this series of calamities: the health crisis, the economic crisis, now this wrenching of race relations in the US, and Look, you would have to say that the scales are now tipped against Donald Trump. But look, November is still 5 or 6 months away, and you know, who would have thought we'd be where we were? We are now just 3 months ago. So who knows where we will be in 6 months from now? What I will say, though, is Donald Trump is very much seeing everything that confronts him as president now through the lens of the looming election. We saw it this week with, you know, his call for the National Guard to be sent in to various cities, and then essentially using that to then make a political point against Joe Biden. And so at every turn, he is trying to frame things in a way that help him in an electoral contest rather than seeing what is really needed here, which is leadership. And also, rather than play to the divisions in American community, he should be trying to bring people together and appeal to, as I said earlier, the better angels inside people, not to their insecurities, not to drive them apart. Final point on this, if you read the Australian media, you might think that Donald Trump's calls for sending in the military, sending in the National Guard are outrageous. But make no mistake, that is a move which is strongly supported in the US. There's opinion polls out this week saying 58% of Americans support the National Guard being called in. And of course, there is also a strong precedent for this being an electoral tactic as well. Richard Nixon in the 1968 yes. election, when again America was racked by race division and riots in the streets, used the calling of strong action and the calling in of the National Guard as a very effective device to win that election.
And of course, we can't forget just another bit of history. As you'd know, Herbert Hoover called in the military to clear out protesters opposite the White House during the Depression, led by Army Chief of Staff General Douglas MacArthur.
Yes, absolutely.
A bit of history.
Yes. And if you're a political observer of these things, you need to not just look at what the newspaper headlines are saying, but try to look to how is the public responding to these things. And so, yeah, I was quite struck this week by the Australian media's coverage of Trump's calling in of the National Guard. And again, you know, you just got the sense that this was something that was totally outrageous. But when you actually look at what American popular opinion is saying, you actually find there's quite a bit of support for it. Notwithstanding the fact that, you know, sending military and paramilitary into a situation of civil unrest in the public sphere, in the streets, is something that's very dangerous and can have, you know, it carries a high risk of unforeseen consequence. In other words, you know, innocent people getting injured and killed.
Nick, I'm hearing you, in a sense, describe Trump as being a clever tactician, a clever campaigner, somebody who can read the mood and sort of tap into it for his electoral advantage. But what does this say about the American people? Are you qualified to comment on that?
Look, there's so many things that can be said about the presidency of Donald Trump. You know, it is true that he has rewritten the rule book in many ways around how you conduct yourself in political life. And as I said, it's anyone, you know, it's hard to predict what will actually happen when the election comes in November. I mean, certainly Trump still remains behind in most of the polls that matter. And so you would, you know, think that Joe Biden has a chance of winning.
I think we've lost Nick. We certainly have. Obviously gone into a black spot.
No, you're back, Nick.
Back there, Nick. We've lost
you. Can you hear me, Kat?
Yes, we can.
I'm still. Can you hear me?
Now we can, yes.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
One thing I want to say, Nick, if you can hear us, is I think the biggest challenge here, Barack Obama said this the other day in his virtual town hall meeting, that if people want real change, they've actually got to vote. They've got to vote in local and state elections to change the leadership of the police force, you know, the judiciary, the laws. That's a noble ideal, but we see that, you know, American voter participation rarely goes over 50% of those eligible to vote. We know that there are lots of restrictions, particularly in the South, on people registering to vote. Do you think that is the key to getting change in America, is actually getting people to register and then to vote?
You know, if they had compulsory voting in the United States like we have in Australia, the Democrats would never lose a presidential election.
Yep.
The math is compelling on that point. And it's not surprising that one of Joe Biden's slogans, in fact, I think it might be his current slogan, he might update it when the election, but is currently one word, vote. Because those that if enough Americans turn out to vote, then he will win. And the Republicans know that as well. That's why they have enacted, these voter suppression measures, they're called, in many key states. And that is all about making it difficult for socially disadvantaged minority groups and others to register to vote, because they know that if they can keep those people off the roll, keep them away from voting, they stand a better chance of being elected themselves. Then, of course, you have these gerrymanders where states can actually draw up the electoral boundaries in a particular state and do it in bizarre ways to try again to rig the outcome. Again, one of the great advantages that Australia has is that we have an Australian Electoral Commission, which decides the rules for voting across the country. In the United States, those rules are decided on a state-by-state basis.
And they're decided by elected officials. And we've got the White House Press Secretary...
Well, of course, don't have any interest in the matter at all, Macca.
Oh. Well, Kayleigh...
No conflict of interest there, is there?
No, none at all.
You know, and you have this whole lie about voting by mail. Kayleigh McEnany, the current White House Press Secretary, talks, as does the President, about fraud in voting, and I spoke about it in my editorial about mail voting. What she neglects to tell everyone that she's actually voted by mail 11 times in the last 10 years. If her brains were dynamite, she couldn't part her hair. But the reality is the voting system is the key to actually bringing America back from the brink they're at, I think. And I think Biden's identified that, Obama has. And the Republicans, of course, are working against that, as you've said. They make it incredibly difficult for people to register to vote, particularly if you're in a minority group.
I think we've lost Nick again, Macca.
No, he just agrees with me. He doesn't have anything to say.
Well, I think that was Nick Rees.
Yes.
From the University of Melbourne. Great to have
you. It's probably part of the 5G conspiracy, Tess.
Do you reckon?
Oh, yeah. I reckon. It's the 5G conspiracy.
There you go. Blame
everybody
else.
I don't know what's going on there, guys.
Are you moving around or are you sitting in your home?
I am. Let me just move, though, and I'll hopefully get in, because I wanted to say, Macca, that is one of those intractable problems that trying to find a way that 50 states in the US could reform their voting systems, there's just no way that the consensus needed to achieve that can be achieved.
It was Lyndon Johnson in some of the reforms that he introduced in his terms that actually lifted African-American participation from memory, you probably know better than me, Nick, I think from 24 to about 36% at the time.
Yes, he did. And look, one of the great secrets of Obama's success was that he lifted turnout. And the explanation for why Hillary didn't succeed was the drop in turnout.
Yeah.
So it's almost become the most important metric now in the US presidential race, turnout. How many voters can the Democrats get out?
Yeah. We've actually run out of time. Nick, what we're looking forward to is getting you in the studio sometime soon, and I think that's going to be, hopefully really soon. Look, thanks for your views and
your time this morning.
And your time. It's great to talk to you, and I hope we can speak to you again real soon.
Been great talking with you guys, and gee whiz, we've got a lot more to talk about on this front between now and November.
We certainly do, and we're interested in your thoughts on that, so stay tuned.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.